chapter 5. We'll start reading with verse 14 down through 16. This first verse applies to several people here tonight. It says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest." All right, I want to be sure and tell you that right now. Awake, thou that sleepest. No sleeping here tonight. "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." God's given us certain areas in our lives that we need to change. Our lives are to be lives that are exemplary. In other words, we need to be examples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe it's high time. It's high time that we did certain things. And in these verses, we find some things that we're supposed to do. But there's other areas in the Word of God that tells us some things. And just before we look at this, I'd like for us to bow our heads in prayer together and ask God's blessings tonight. I believe that our hearts need to be in the right position to receive His Word. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You tonight for Your Word. Lord, we just feel so unworthy. Lord, we know that Jesus gave His life for us. Why He did that, we just really don't understand fully. Lord, I'm sure of this one thing. I'm glad He did. I'm thankful tonight that He saved me. And I pray this prayer, Lord, in the name of Jesus, asking You that You would speak to each of our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, to understand what You have for us. Father, save that soul tonight that's not saved. For Jesus' sake, amen. Over in the book of Luke, chapter 13, if you turn over there with me. Luke chapter 13. The first thing that I say it's high time to be done is it's high time to confess up. We let old pride stand in our way a lot of times and just don't do what's right. But we should not let pride be there. We should just crucify the flesh. Paul says, "I'm crucified daily." He was crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to crucify this old flesh daily. It's not enough that last week I was living in the spirit spirit-filled. It's not enough that I was living 2 days ago spirit-filled and the old flesh crucified. I must be crucified daily. I must realize that this old flesh needs to be hung up. It needs to be taken care of daily. And in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, it says, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." We as men and women, we get the idea that it's everybody else that needs to be straightened up. It's everybody else that needs the preacher's message. How many times have you personally sat in a church service and a preacher preached and you said, "Boy, that guy over there sure needed that, didn't he? So-and-so really needed that, and I'm sure glad the preacher laid it on tonight." I guess we've all been guilty of that, haven't we? But we need to understand tonight that it's high time that we confess up, that we repent. First of all, I think that the saint needs to repent. Now, not repent unto salvation, but to repent because we do have salvation. Repent the idea is to repent, to be willing to put away self, to get away from the things that's hindering us from running the race with everything that we've got. The Bible says, "Wherefore laying aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us." We need to get rid of those things, confess, repent, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that means every one of us. I don't believe there's a person present that doesn't have some things that we need to get rid of. We have some things in our lives that really slow us down. And we really need to make this a matter of concern and be willing to repent and turn to God. And I believe once again that this is the greatest hindrance to revival in our country and in the world. Remember, God's Word says that if we will turn from our wicked ways. Turn means to repent. Turn means going in the opposite direction than where we were headed. Turn, repent, saint, from your evil ways. And not only is it time for the saint to turn from his ways, his evil way, but it's also time for the sinner to turn from his evil way. Sinners, those individuals, now, we're all sinners. There's a difference. Some of us are saved by grace, but there are others who are not saved, and it's time for those sinners to repent who are not saved. They need to repent and turn to the living God. The Bible says back in Luke chapter 13 that there were some who thought they were better than other people. They thought they were above turning and doing what was right. But God says, nay, I tell you, they were no better, and you're no better than they are. But God says that you are to repent. Unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Tomorrow night, George will be preaching a message. I have no idea what George is going to preach, but I believe he'll be preaching repentance. He may not even use the word repent, but I'm sure that George will have the plan of salvation in there. He'll be telling individuals there at the mission that they need to turn from their wicked ways and turn to God, receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the best advice that anybody could ever give an individual, is that they need to repent. They need to confess that Jesus is Lord, and believe in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Not only is it time for the saint and the sinner to confess up, to repent, but it's time for the church to repent. It's time for the church to swallow pride and confess. It's time for the church to realize that this church is not perfect. This church is just a place where you and I gather together. And by the way, I'm not talking about the church building as such. I'm talking about the area, but the church is really us, isn't it? The church is really the people. First of all, the saint needs to confess up. Secondly, the sinner and the church as a whole. This church should not be so high and mighty that it actually casts doubt or causes any kind of embarrassment to any other organization, any other church organism. We need to concern ourselves with this place. I learned a long time ago that I've got enough to take care of with the ministry God's given me. I don't have to be running around snooping. I don't have to be running around trying to cause and rake up trouble. There's enough of that going on anyway. The devil doesn't need my help. And we as an individual church, a group of people coming together, a called out assembly, we've got our job to do here, and we've got our own thing to do here by serving God. And we need to confess up and get rid of any old pride that's present within the church itself. We're just sinners saved by grace that needs to be doing the work of God. First of all, I see it's high time to confess up. Secondly, I see it's high time to go up. It's high time to go up to the house of God. In Hebrews 10:25, I quoted this morning. It says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another daily, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are to assemble ourselves together. We're not to forsake the assembling. Don't put your light under a bushel. Don't come to church once a week and expect God to bless your spiritual life. Some people do not believe that church attendance and belonging to a local church is very important. Well, I got news for you. Jesus died for us. Jesus died for the church. This is the church age. Where does the church meet? Contrary to popular belief, you know, the Bible says that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. That does not constitute a local church, and that's not what he's talking about. Listen, I can be by myself, and God's in the midst. I can be there by myself, and Jesus Christ, who indwells me, is right there with me then. So I surely cannot say that I constitute a local church. What constitutes a local church is a group of born-again, baptized believers carrying out the Great Commission. Now, if we are lacking that, if we are lacking any one of those things, born-again, baptized believers, observing the Lord's table, carrying out the Great Commission, I do not believe we can claim to be a New Testament local church. But thank God this church does do that. And we're not setting ourselves up above anyone else, but we're simply saying that we are doing what God says that a local church is to do. Some people think they can gather around the TV set and have church. Well, bless God, you can worship any place, can't you? I mean, you can worship around the TV set. You can have prayer in your living room. You can even have a Bible study in your living room. You can even call over several of your friends, and you can have prayer, you can sing, and you can clap your hands and have a good time and read the Scriptures. But bless God, that doesn't constitute a local church. A local church is where people gather together to do what we're doing tonight. And remember, if we gather together here tonight simply to hear the Word of God, that does not constitute a local church. Born again, baptized believers, administering the Lord's table, carrying out the Great Commission, that constitutes a local church. And don't kid yourself, The local church is very important to Jesus. He died for it. He gave His life that we could be here tonight, gathered together, serving Him. Now, it's time that we go up. It's time that we quit fooling around and we get serious with God and understand that there's several people in the world who do not have the privilege we do tonight. And that's gathering together with other believers. Those who can, in foreign countries, there are several tonight who are gathering together and they're afraid. They're afraid. They wonder how long they're going to be able to do it before the Gestapo, we'll call it the Gestapo, before those communist butchers come in and carry them off and put them someplace where they cannot have services anymore. We're so fortunate tonight to live in a country that's free now. It's free right now. We can gather ourselves together, and I just wonder, and I really don't hope, I hope that I don't see this come to pass. But it's very possible that one day, and one day soon, that people will be afraid together in the United States of America. And I would remind you, they've already started padlocking churches. And I know that's been made a big deal out of. People say, well, it's been blown out of proportion. Well, they did it, didn't they? I mean, it happened. And there's people who have been put in jail for wanting to serve God, for wanting to do what's right, to see that their kids get a good Christian education. They've been put in jail for that. And folks, if they can do it one place, they can do it someplace else. And you and I need to realize tonight that it's a great privilege and honor that we have to be able to come here tonight. And I cannot for the life of me understand why people, members of a local church, will not gather themselves together regularly for the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so important to me. And you know that nobody ever had to tell me to get in church. When I got saved, I went and I stayed in church. I stayed there. I did not leave. Do you know one of the reasons I didn't leave? I was afraid to get out of it because I knew I was no good. I was a dirty, rotten sinner. I was still a sinner, saved by grace, and I needed all the help I can get. I still need it. And by the way, you need it too. You need to be here too. You need to be here every time the doors open to hear the Word of God, to sing the songs of glory, and to greet your brothers and sisters in Christ and shake hands. And I'm a literalist. But I'll draw the line when it says greet one another with a holy kiss. I mean, that's where we draw the line. I cannot see myself kissing Brother Strickland back here. I mean, I just have to draw the line there. I just will not do that. And especially, he wouldn't want me to with the onions I've had to eat today. I'm sure that he would stay away. But we need to greet each other, shake hands with everybody, and be friendly. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Don't put it under. And don't neglect fellowship. This is one of the best places I know of to have fellowship, coming together with God's people. And don't starve your soul. It's time to go up to the house of God. Don't starve your soul. Get into the house of God. Do what God has for you to do. And someone says, what is the local church so important? Well, there's several reasons. But do you know that the commission of baptizing was given to the local church? God gave that to the local church. And do you know if somebody called me up on the telephone tonight at 12 o'clock and they said, Preacher, I just got saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, boy, I'd rejoice with them. Bless God, you got saved. And they would say something like, Preacher, could you take me now and baptize me in the creek? Oh, I need to get baptized right now. I want to get baptized. I'd have to say, no, I couldn't. I couldn't do that. Somebody says, what? You wouldn't take somebody out and baptize them? Look, I'm simply an instrument. I'm to be used of God. And God uses me through this local church. That's the reason that individuals walk this aisle and they stand here. You remember Billy and Cynthia. They walked forward and they stood here. They confessed Jesus Christ. They went back to their seat or they shook hands and everything. But there was another time when they walked forward and they stood here and I said, this is Billy and Cynthia. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. They want to be baptized. What is the pleasure of the church? Then we voted. We said, hey, we can't forbid that these shouldn't be baptized because they've received Jesus the same as we've received. So they need to be baptized. Well, who said that? The church said that. The church said that we need to baptize those individuals. Why? Because God's ordained it that way. That individuals come through the local church, they get baptized under the leadership, guidance, and direction of the pastor through the local church. So, don't call me in the middle of the night and expect me to baptize somebody. Unless we can get a cross-section of the church together. Unless we can get everybody up. And I wouldn't want to get some of these people up. Okay? You have to take that on yourselves. You get them out of bed. But we need to understand that God has given certain responsibilities to us as Christians and the local church. Don't sell it short. It is important that individuals realize the importance of the local church. Now, Let me remind you that when someone is baptized in this local church, they become a member of this local church. Membership's important. You say, well, how do you know that membership's important? Several reasons. Several instances in the Word of God, and I've already mentioned one, how that I didn't mention the exact location, but in Acts chapter 10, when Peter witnessed to Cornelius, he got saved. Peter said, all right, these fellows have been saved. Can anybody here forbid water that these should be baptized the way we were baptized? And do you know what? Now, they baptized him, but who do you think Peter was asking that question to? He said, well, that was a Gentile there Peter was talking to, and he wasn't in Jerusalem. I wonder who was with him. You go back and you read, and you'll find out that there was a group of individuals with Peter from the church at Joppa, the local church at Joppa. He didn't take it upon himself to baptize those men, that man and his household. He asked the representation of the local church there, hey, what's the church say? Baptize them. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said, there's reported commonly among you that there's fornication, and such is not named among the Gentiles. In other words, look, fellows, the Gentiles are terrible. And you Jews, those of you in the church there and those people who have been saved, look, you're living worse than they're living, letting this go on in the church. One of your members is doing this. He said, the next time that you're gathered together, I'm there in the Spirit. He says, turn such an one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the Spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Well, who was he talking to? He was talking to the leader of that church, and he was talking directly to the church, saying, hey, there's a member. There's someone in your membership. Now, if that person was not a member of that local church, how could he be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh? I have no reason to turn over one of Bill Pouncey's members to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. I mean, I have no call to do that. Maybe he does. Maybe I'll call him up and ask him if he's done that recently. But I don't have any reason to turn another shepherd's sheep over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. It's important that we understand that God has ordained local churches. It's very important. Well, it's time for us to go up to the house of God. And it's also time, it's high time, for us to give up, to surrender. We just need to say, I surrender, I give up. And the thing that we need to give up our lives. Look with me in the book of Mark, if you would. Mark chapter 10. And I suppose that there's about three things that I really preach on, and that's service to God, that's giving your bodies to the Lord, that's salvation, and actually the Christian life, being filled with the Spirit, and soul winning. Maybe four or five things there. But that's what really every message is made up of. I mean, every message is about the same. We just have different outlines. But it's so important that we understand that these things are very important. Mark chapter 10, verse 29, it says, but he, let's see if that's where I want. I'm in Luke. I'm sorry. Hold on just a second. I'll be there in just a moment. Mark chapter 10 and verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Well, bless God. You say, I like that houses and lands, but I don't like the persecutions. It comes with the job, doesn't it, Vernon? I mean, it comes with the territory. You need to be understanding tonight that when you give your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't think it strange that you fall into temptation or you're tempted above measure. Don't think it strange that men and women revile you because the world hated the Savior. And just as the world hated him, the world's going to hate you. But thank God, that rest of that verse says eternal. We're going to see it in eternity. We're going to have blessings upon top of blessings in eternity. We don't have to worry about the here and now. Just going to be here for a while, and we're going to be gone. Say, how old are you? How many years do you have left to serve God? If you're 35 years old, you can figure half of your life's over with. If you're 70 years old, you can figure, is anybody in here 70? See your hand. See, I saw some women look at their husbands back here. Nobody here 70, but, you know, God's given us a general lifespan. We understand that men and women live to be generally around 70 years old. You need to sit down and you need to see how much more of your life is left, approximately, to serve God. Bless God, if you're young, you need to be serving God now. You need to start with your life now and and doing what God would have you to do, you need to give up. You need to give your life to the Lord right now. You're not your own, Christian. You've been bought with a price. Would you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Chapter 6, and once again, you've heard this many times, I'm sure. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Circumcision is nothing. I'm in chapter 7. Pardon me, I'm having a time tonight. I guess glasses are on the way. You know. Okay. I still say these lights are not right up here. Okay. We're going to get another row. We're going to get some more light. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, and 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Not only does our spirit belong to God, but our bodies belong to Him as well. See, when He bought you lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, when He got the good, He got the bad also. When He got the good spirit, He got the bad body. I mean, He's the one that wants to use your body. He can use your body if you'll let Him. He wants to use these members to bring righteousness to Him. And it's time that we gave up our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You owe it to Jesus. He bought you. He paid the price. He gave His life. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary that you could have eternal life. And you also owe it to yourself. There's no greater life than the Christian life. I certainly believe that there's a lot of Christians today who are suffering, who have had a premature death, because they refuse constantly to serve God, and they've given their members over to lasciviousness, to work those things that are unseemly, the Bible says, wickedness, doing the things that's contrary to the will of God. Someone says, do you really think that God whips His children? I sure do. I really do. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I've been whipped. I mean, I've had that happen to me, and if you've been saved any length of time, you've had it happen to you also. Hey, if you haven't had it happen, you better check up. You need to check up. Because the Bible says that if we be without chastisement, then we're none of His. And you need to realize that when God got you, He didn't get very much. When God got me, He didn't get very much. But bless God, I'm determined that I'm going to do the best I can for Him. I want to do what I can, and that's still not enough. And I still do things wrong. I mean, I still have problems. But glory to God. I owe it to Jesus to give all I can to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I owe it to myself to be living the life that God wants to live through me. How great it is to be alive, to serve the living God. Well, we not only need to give up and surrender our lives, but we need to pray up. The secret of power is in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. I've said this before, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. No prayer, no power. If you have no prayer, you're not going to have any power. If you don't have much prayer, you're not going to have much power. If you have much prayer, you're going to have much power, though. We all have the same opportunity in the Lord. Somebody says, how come that fellow's exalted? How come that fellow has everything? What happens? How come that Christian seems to be on top of the world? How come he seems to have power in his life? I believe it's because of prayer. And once again, I don't believe there's a person in this room that prays too much. I don't pray too much. I don't believe there's another individual that prays too much. Not only in this room, but in this world. I don't think that we could pray enough. We need to be praying and seeking God's face. It's time to pray up. It's time to have the secret of power in our lives. So important that we meet together in this prayer room on Sunday evenings. That's honoring God. And fellas, I'm going to call an all-night prayer meeting soon with you men. And possibly the ladies can get together for a few hours, or maybe they'd even want to get together all night. I don't know. Fix breakfast for the men the next morning. I'm always looking for a meal, okay? But it would be so good to be able to gather together one evening and pray all night long, wouldn't it? Just pray and sing and have a good time in the Lord and just seek His face. Do you know, I've done that before, and I remember one particular time. It was in Logan. I believe it was our first anniversary, wasn't it? I think it was one of the first all night. Now, we'd prayed all year long, but we really got serious with God, I guess you'd say, that night. And on a Saturday night, we was looking for a big day the next day. And the most we'd ever had in church up to that point was, I believe it was 80 people. And this was our first year in Logan. And, And I said, "Oh Lord, we need to see your blessings tomorrow." And we prayed together, some men and myself, and we prayed on Saturday night. The next morning, we had to go out and run the buses and everything, and we prayed until 6 o'clock Sunday morning. And we went home. We got a bite to eat. We showered. At least I think some of those guys did. And we came back, and bless God, the Lord gave us 204 that day. We prayed, and we asked God to really give us a blessing. You say, "Well, 204 is not that many." Well, glory to God, it's more than double, isn't it? And we just prayed, and we asked God to give us that. And do you know we can see that this year in this church? But it's going to take prayer. It's going to take the power of God. It wasn't us. I mean, we were just in that room praying all night. God was out working on hearts. We were praying, and He was directing our prayers. And we just need to pray and seek God's face. Not only do we need to pray up, and this is the secret of power, but we need to look up. We need to look up tonight. Would you look in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We need to look up tonight for help from the Lord. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We need to look up to Jesus tonight for pardon. If you're not saved, you need to ask him for pardon tonight. You need to ask him to pardon your sins. "Lord, please forgive me. I'm sorry for my sin. Please come into my heart and save me. I need pardon." That's what you'll be saying. Pardon from the Lord. Look up to him tonight. And not only that, you need to look up to him for peace. If you're an individual tonight who's having a difficult time, turmoil, God has the answer for you. You need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Then, once again, you need to look up for power. You need to pray up for power, and then you need to look up for power. Look to the one who's going to give you the victory in your life. This preacher can't give you the victory. Your husband or your wife, your daughter, your son, your mom or your dad can't give you the victory in your life. You're going to soon find out that there's one person in this world that has to give an account for your soul and your eternal destiny and for the life that you live. That's you. And the only one who can really help you is God. You need to look to him, first of all, for pardon. Look to him for peace. And then look to him for power, Christian, so that you can get the job done that he has for you. Not only look up for help, but we need to sing up. We need to sing up. Now, over in the book of Psalms, chapter 40. All right. Psalm chapter 40, verse 3, it says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear." Boy, they fear when I sing, I'll tell you that. "Many shall fear and shall trust in the Lord." Isn't it good to have a song in your heart? Isn't it good to have praise on your lips? Let's read that again. "And he hath put a new song in my mouth." God puts a new song in our mouth. He puts a new song in our mouth. Why? Because it's in our heart first, and then it just comes out. It just can't help it. It's got to come out. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." You've heard that many times. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Sing a new song unto the Lord Jesus Christ." Why shouldn't we sing? I mean, we've got everything tonight. We've got joy. We've got goodness. We've got eternal life. And there's nothing that can take that from us. And if that doesn't bless you, and I've said it over and over again, if you're not blessed, that your blesser is busted. You have got to be blessed. I mean, it's just got to bless you, and it just gets down to the deepest region of your heart when you start understanding what God has done for you and what he's going to do in the future. Not only are we to sing up, but we're to speak up. We're to speak up. This is to witness, of course. Look in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. Say, "Preacher, you mean they had witnessing back in the Old Testament?" Sure they did. Sure, that's always been God's plan, is for man to witness for him, to tell people how to be saved. Then Isaiah 43 and verse 10, he says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." There's only one God. And he said, who's his witnesses? "Ye are my witnesses." He's chosen us, hasn't he? He's chosen us. And that, now look, I believe in predestination to that point. Okay, I don't believe it the way some people believe it. But when you get saved, you've been predestined to be witnesses. After you get saved, you're predestined to be witnesses unto the Lord. You're to stand up. You're to stand up for Jesus. Stand up, and you're to be fired up for Jesus. And if you need be, you need to be cranked up for Jesus. You need to be doing the job for the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be witnesses unto the Lord. Let me remind you that when you go on visitation, when you go knock on that door, you're representing the Lord. Let's not fall into the trap and be guilty of just inviting somebody to church. Let's invite them to the Lord also. If at all possible, get a witness into that individual. Because, you see, you may not see them again. You may never see that person again. Knock on that door. Hand them a tract and say, we would like so much for you to visit with us in our church. By the way, could I ask you a question? Are you 100% sure if you died right now you'd go to heaven? Boy, that'd get them thinking. And then you may get to present the plan of salvation. Or somebody may have been there before you who's planted a seed. And that individual may just melt in front of you and say, oh, I need Jesus. And they may get saved on the spot. Why? Because the Word of God's been planted and ye are witnesses. Folks, it's high time that we confess up. It's high time that we go up. It's high time that we give up, surrender our lives to the Lord. It's high time that we pray up as a church and as individuals. It's high time that we look up to the Lord, the author and finisher of our faith. It's high time that we sing up for praise to God. And it's high time that we speak up. We need to be speaking up for our Lord and our Savior. Are you glad to be saved tonight? Let's all stand to our feet, if you would. And Brother Joe, why don't you come lead us in a song right now?